Betty was a feminist icon. She was an artist and an author and an activist. And really, her Sistine Chapel was the creation of the Body Sex Workshop, this transformative two-day workshop where women would come in with body shame, sexual trauma, whatever it was, and they would transform in the matter of 12 hours. So I had read about body sex workshops. I knew it was an outgrowth of the consciousness raising groups that were the foundation of feminism, where women would get together in groups and speak first person about their experience so we could understand that it wasn't us, that it was systematic discrimination, and we can kind of let go of the blaming ourselves. And I knew that Betty was in the same CR group as Gloria Steinem and all the women at Ms. And she had told me the story of how she kept on pushing them, like saying, let's confront sexuality head on. Let's do physical and sexual consciousness raising. And then they had invited her to start her own CR group, kind of get rid of her. And I had seen flyers. She had these beautiful flyers and with all of her art and then dates and then a series of rituals or things that women could expect. But I had never seen a workshop. And I had never experienced a workshop. So when she got the email from a group of women in Copenhagen, graduating sexologists, that had invited her to run a group, and she asked me to assist and go with her, I was thrilled. And I remember asking Betty, I said, Betty, is there anything I should bring? And she said, yes, bring a raspberry robe. And I should have known that. So we land in Copenhagen and we go to the space, and it's this beautiful, charming herringbone floors, big windows with natural light, crown moldings space. It's lovely. And Karen, our host, walks us through, and we're finding this space for the circle. So the whole point is we're in a circle. We're not in a rose like in school, and each woman is equal. And I was impressed how Betty has no problem saying, nope, can't be here. Nope, we need carpet under the women, under the back jacks. And she's ordering everyone around. And it's not from a place of ego. It's from a place of the women have to feel safe and the women have to be comfortable. And it has to be beautiful. So the women show up day one. And everyone gets in, and Betty says, okay, everyone, let's get in our robes. And we do that thing that you do in gym class. We all kind of turned around with our backs to each other and very quickly took off our garments and very quickly put on our robe. And then we sat down in the circle with Betty. She rang a bell. We all came in and sat down in our back jacks on the nice, squishy carpet looking at each other. And we did a round of breathing. And then Betty said, okay, we're going to take off our robes. This is an exercise in shared vulnerability. So we take off our robes and we sit down. And again, we're not making eye contact. We're looking at the ground. And Betty looks around and announces, she said, look how beautiful you are. Look how different each woman is. And then she'd always say, look at the breasts. The shapes of breasts are so beautiful. And there's such variety. And she gave us permission to kind of look around the room. And it's interesting because it's the first time I think I experienced group nudity without any kind of shame or sexual agenda. And it was like public bathing like we used to do in Europe, you know, our ancestors. It felt like that. It felt completely natural and completely normal. So then Betty says, okay, we're going to go around the circle and we're going to answer two questions. How do you feel about your body? And how do you feel about your orgasm? And I'm going to start. And that impressed me. Like, the leader is going first. She was nude with us. It's not like she was like sitting on the side clothed, you know, and we were laying down on the chair, you know, completely sharing our lives and our nudity. No, she was right there with us. So as we go around the circle, You hear your story in every woman's share. So these women were, right, completely different culture. And we had women from Somalia. We had women that were Danish from Copenhagen, all walks of life, pretty much 20 to 45 in age. One woman was in her last trimester of pregnancy. So different. The story is the same because the experience is the same. And kind of instantly you feel bonded together as one because you realize, wow, we're on the same side. And I think that's the first time I ever felt that with a group of women. And it just felt right. And I wanted more of it. So we broke for lunch. And afterwards, they said, okay, finish up. We're going to sit down for genital show and tell, which Betty coined. And it's so fun, like genital show and tell. Yes, let's do it. And that's exactly what it was. So Betty sat down in front of us and she had a light and a mirror. And she said, okay, I'm going to display my vulva and take you through each part. So my clitoral shaft and my clitoris and my inner and outer labia and my vaginal opening, show you how I can squeeze my pelvic floor muscle. Very straightforward, very transparent. And I'm going to look at myself and I invite you to look as well. And it was the first time I had seen a woman's vulva that was in her 80s. And I have to say this, vulvas don't age. If it wasn't for the white pubic hair, you would have no idea her age. Everything is plump and pink and reactive. That I think that myth in my mind of menopause and how everything kind of dries out, shrivels up and falls off, that is such a lie. So all the women were interested and we were all kind of like, oh, wow, like that's amazing. I can age now without that fear that I'm going to lose something or something's going to end. So then Betty invited each woman to sit next to her. And they would look at her vulva in the mirror together with the group watching as well. And at this point, we're all on our hands and knees on our towels so we can see. And people will always ask me, like, do women ever say anything mean? And I have to say that is not what happens. It's quite the opposite. Women just compliment each other and cavil over each other. I've never heard a negative word. Only positive words. Women are not competitive by nature. I'm sorry. If you put them in a safe environment, it's all sisterhood. And we went around the circle. And I was nervous. But when I sat next to Betty, it's like it all melted away because you have the curiosity of like, I've never looked at my vulva in a mirror. I have no idea what my vulva looks like. I mean, think of it. Would you leave the house without looking at your face in the mirror? No. And what if you were living your life not knowing what you looked like? And to see a vulva, you have to pull your outer labia open. So how can I really connect to pleasure when I don't have a visual image in my mind of what my sex organ looks like? I mean, it's so simple. So we're at the gynecologist, right? And they're looking at us, but we can't see together, right? They're in the position of power. And we're sitting there with our legs up in the air and a little drape over our thighs, and we can't see. And that's so Betty, like equal, next to us, looking together. And then we got to a woman, and she had that disorder where you get patches of different colors on your skin. So it was white and kind of creamy and then brown. And you could tell she was nervous. And she started to explain. And Betty said, you're our pony, our beautiful pony. Look at that skin. It is remarkable. And the woman just looked at Betty and said, you're right. I'm the pony. And we went, pony. And we all had this beautiful moment. That's how Betty handled any kind of issue in the workshop when people held shame about having psoriasis or fibroid scars. It was, hey, look at it, it's beautiful. And it was. And you could see her put down that shame in that moment. And then the last woman to go, I will never forget this, she sat down, and when she opened her legs, the whole room went, ah! And I thought, what an ego boost. Because a whole group of women saw your vulva and gasped. It was so beautiful. And Betty looks down and says, look, it's the black orchid, and she's here to visit us. It is the most fantastical vulva to date. She was Somalian, so she had this beautiful black and brown colors to her vulva. And her clitoral hood was fluted like a lily. And then her inner labia, not only did they dangle, go out past her outer labia, but they puffed out, and they were beautiful color black, like a deep, deep, smoky black, like an orchid. Like, it was amazing. I've never seen a vulva like that before. And it was remarkable, the diversity. Each woman looked different. No one looked the same. Vulvas are like snowflakes. And in that moment, we all let go of our genital shame. And we were all bonded. Because, you know, the compliments and the you look different and the oohs and ahs and the support and the love and the appreciation. I mean, for life. You are bonded for life. And then Betty called the end of day one. And I think that's really important that we go through genital show and tell, and then it's 6, 7 p.m. and we all go to dinner and then we go home. You need to process seeing all of those beautiful images. And when we got back in the circle on day two, we did a quick share. And what women shared was how good they slept, how relaxed they were. Some were excited and inspired and had sex with their partner or masturbated, but most women, it was this sense of peace. I would call it radical self-acceptance. Because now we know ourselves, we've seen, so we've made a visual connection with our sex organ. And then Betty called erotic recess. We were going to make a tactile connection to our sex organ. So we have our vibrator, we have almond oil to use as lubricant, and we have Betty's barbell, which is weighs a pound. It's medical grade stainless steel, but it's this beautiful, kind of looks like a small barbell for like carpal tunnel, but it's for vaginal penetration. And she's like, let's start off by standing up and bending our legs a little, putting some movement in our hips. And what we're going to do is vibrate our chakras. So we turn on the vibrators and we start with the root chakra, and we're coming up sex chakra, orange, your vulva, and then we're going all the way up. And what was beautiful about this is that we were looking at each other and facing each other and giggling. And I think when we have any kind of sex with a partner, right, it's you're lying on your back, you can't see, and sometimes the lights are out. And it's different when it's daylight, and it's different when you're standing up, and it's different when you're seeing everything that's happening. It just feels so honest and real. And then she called erotic race. We're all going to sit down. And she was guiding us through steps. And the first step was, okay, let's get some oil and let's do a vulva massage and touch all the areas and see what feels best to you. And that was really fun because it was so different. Again, variety. There were so many erogenous zones on your vulva that you don't even think of. You go right for your clit. And that was really fun, the warm up. And then she guided us through self-penetration. And that was really nice, you know, that if we play at the outside, there are so many nerve endings at the vaginal opening. And if we play out there and we wait till we're aroused and the little glands start to lubricate the vagina, and we slowly, you know, kind of work our pelvic floor and nibble the barbell and slowly go inch by inch, instead of just ramming it in, right? And suffering and waiting for it not to hurt. To wait till we want it. That was really a game changer. And then we went to the rock and roll Betty's technique. So what is that? Breathing, moving, rocking your pelvis, and combining clitoral stimulation with vaginal penetration. So the whole point is that I need to get blood flow. I need to get aroused to get to that orgasm. We're not going to just go fast and tense the muscles and put the vibe on your clit and have a quick blah, and then it's done and we're not satisfied. So how to build your arousal, get the blood flow, and keep going, because women can have multiples. So we sat there for an hour and a half riding orgasm waves together. I mean, it was the most profound experience of my life. And what was interesting is that all of a sudden you'd start to hear a woman building up to orgasm. And real orgasm sounds come from the stomach. It's not that high-pitched stuff that we hear in pornography. And when you really hear that, oh my God, like your orgasm jumps out. So of course, the Black Orchid was our most vocal woman. And as she started to build up, the wave came in her, and then it was like dominoes. It went all around the circle, and it would go from left to right and right to left. And I don't know if that's something like when we menstruate together. I don't know if it's like a hormonal thing or a vibration thing or permission and safety. But that's what I've experienced in that moment and every time after that, every workshop after that, is that just, it's like a sound bath. And the arousal just keeps on going. We took little breaks and we had snacks and then we'd go back. And that was really interesting, because when I took a break, I noticed like, wow, when I take a break, I don't lose my arousal. Because I was thinking like men, right? You lose your erection, that's it. And then when I go back, it's right there. And sometimes it's more intense. So then one of the women said, hey, do you want to see how strong my pelvic floor muscle is? And we all went, yeah. So she had the barbell in her vagina and it weighs a pound. It's heavy. So she clenches her pelvic floor muscle. She stands up and the barbell does not move. And we immediately applaud. And that's what erotic recess is. It's just like really warm, fun, joyful, serious but humorous, and these moments. It's like the best cocktail party you'd ever go to, because women were taking bathroom breaks and then coming back, and we had little conversations, and we were eating strawberries and Gouda cheese, and then we go back for more orgasms, and eventually, like, it all peters out, and then we're all... And the next ritual was group massage, and that was really lovely, an exercise and non-sexual touch. So we've had all these beautiful orgasm waves, we've washed our hands, and we would break up into groups, and one woman would lay down, and then all the women would lay their hands down on her body at once, 5 minutes each side, just with some oil running your hands over her body, no words. And many women would say it was their favorite part of the workshop. Just that beautiful touch with all of that kind of positive sex energy that was in the room, and that feeling of being grounded and together and whole. I've always wished I could take pictures during those moments, because it's so stunning. And you really can't find imagery like that in Hollywood or adult entertainment. So we ended day two and no one wanted to leave, and we gave everyone hugs, and Betty and I went out to dinner. And I looked across the table at Betty and I said, you know, I want to do this for the rest of my life. And Betty smiled and she said, well, kid, she always called me kid. She's like, I'm not going to lie, I've done it all, and my best orgasm is in the circle. And the following morning, we had a really early flight. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning. It was insane. And we wheel into the airport, and we're getting our tickets. And all of a sudden, we hear the women yelled, Hitachi! And this is when the Hitachi magic wand, the vibrator we used during erotic recess, was called Hitachi and not magic wand. And we turn around, and there is the Black Orchid, Pony, and Maya with their wands with them above their heads. We run over, give them hugs. They were so wonderful. I had to take a picture. I'm going to post it here. So it felt like family, you know? The connection you can have with almost complete strangers. We didn't really share much about our personal lives, but we shared the deepest intimacy. It was an expansive experience. It changed the trajectory of my life. I will run workshops until I can't anymore, just like Betty. And she said that, she, Carlin, I'm going to run these groups till I can't get up and off the floor. And we did. Her last workshop, she was 90 years old. Body sex really was Betty Sistine Chapel. And she always said that she didn't create it. She channeled it. She created the space. She made women feel safe. And then the women told her what they needed. And each ritual that I experienced happened because a woman said, hey, I think there's something wrong with my vulva. Can you look? Hey, I don't know how to have an orgasm. Can you show me how you stimulate your body? It's a completely organic feminist experience.